Luke chapter 10. That's where we're going to begin our study. And then we will go forth from there this evening. But you can turn there. We're going to begin by reading some passages there. Just let me begin by saying I'm so glad to see all of you here. I feel so privileged to be able to study the Word of God with you tonight. I want to say that I appreciate Dan and his good song direction. It's always wonderful to be able to come up here and study the Word of God after we've sung praises to God. It just feels so right. And I just really enjoy doing that with you this evening. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. We're going to begin tonight by reading a passage that is pretty familiar and pretty common, a passage you probably heard lessons about before. But we're gonna take that passage and we're going to go off in a direction that I think is a little different than normal. So hang with me as we read this familiar story. Luke 10, verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." I don't know about you, but whenever I read that story, it always brings me great comfort. It brings me great comfort because it's wonderful to know that people in the first century just kind of felt frazzled sometimes too, right? Isn't that nice to know that it's not just 21st century Americans who struggle with feeling busy and worried and anxious and distressed? Martha's feeling that way all the way back in the first century, and that makes me feel good. It's good to know that other people felt overwhelmed and distracted and busy. And so Martha in this story becomes one of the most relatable Bible characters ever. I feel her, don't you? But what I want you to appreciate is that this story is not really about Martha. Although typically when we come to this story to make a point about distraction and how we need to make sure we prioritize Jesus and listen to him, and we need to set our day in order. We need to line out our calendars, make sure we make time for God, right? We make that point all the time. But this story isn't really about Martha, although there is applications that we can find from her. This story is really about Mary and the choice that she makes, the heart of Mary, and the attitude she reveals in this story is something from which all of us ought to learn. She teaches us something so important, so vital, especially since we all live in this fast-paced, high-stressed, high-anxiety kind of world. Mary shows us her attitude. She shows us her heart. She shows us that she's the kind of person who chooses the good part. That's what Jesus says about her. She chose the good part. Verse 42, only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. That language there is interesting. The idea of choosing the good part. That may also be interpreted as the good food or the good meal. And that's an interesting thing to think about, isn't it? That Jesus, by doing that, by saying it in that way, he is contrasting the choice of Martha with the choice of Mary. What did Martha choose to do here in this story? She chose, with all the company in her house, to focus on fixing a physical meal. I got to get the food ready. I got to set the table. I got to make sure the physical meal is ready. And by contrast, what does Mary choose? Well, she chooses to neglect fixing the physical meal and to sit at the feet of Jesus and enjoy a spiritual feast. That's the point Jesus is making. And he says, Martha, you need to understand that your sister has chosen the good part. She chose the right meal. And we need to learn from her. I love the attitude of Mary in this story, where she chooses to look at everything that's going on in her house and everything that all of us would totally be concerned about, just like Martha was. And she says, instead of doing all of that, I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus and simply listen. Mary chose the good part. And let's talk about what exactly that means. Let's talk about what exactly she did here. That means, first of all, that Mary chose to stop. That's the first thing she had to do. She had to stop. Unlike everybody else, unlike Martha, she had to stop. Now, there was plenty of work to do in the house, and I'm sure that under normal circumstances, Mary did pitch in whenever company was over. But not this day. On this day, the teacher, capital T, had come to her house. He was sitting in the living room and he was speaking. And I'm not sure if he was preaching or teaching formally or if he was just having a conversation. I kind of like to think that's what he was doing. Just having a conversation, answering questions. But whatever he was doing, he was in her house and he was speaking. This special man, this miracle worker, was right there. She could hear him, see him, touch him, and sit right at his feet. And she decided in that moment that she was not going to waste that opportunity. She was not going to squander this. So she stopped to sit at his feet. But she didn't just stop. She also chose to listen closely to what he had to say. And that is, after all, why she chose to stop. Because she wouldn't have been able to listen closely if she had been listening with half an ear while she was doing all the other chores like Martha was. She dropped everything so that she could sit at his feet and so that she could drink in every word that proceeded from his mouth. She did not want to listen to Jesus the way we sometimes listen, right? The way we listen when our wife wants to have a conversation with us and we listen with one earbud in or one eye on the TV. You listen like that sometimes? She didn't want to listen the way you sometimes listen to your kids when they're playing in the next room. You're not really listening to what they're saying, but you're listening just in case you hear a yell or a scream or a snap or a crash. You know what I'm talking about? She didn't want to listen like that with half an ear. She stops so that she can listen closely so she doesn't miss anything. And this is the other thing that I want you to appreciate about Mary. Is that once she did that, and when she was listening at his feet, she really chose to accept and believe what she heard. You know, in the Bible story, Mary isn't the only one who listens closely to Jesus. She's not the only one who stops and listens intently. She's not. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they all listen closely to Jesus too. But they listen with an agenda. They listen to him in order to find something that they can twist in order to undermine him. They listen in order to catch him or trap him in something that he might say. They don't listen because they really want to know what he has to say. But Mary listens with a heart that is ready to accept and believe. Because Mary has chosen Jesus. And so she is going to stop and she is going to listen closely. And whatever she hears come out of his mouth, she is going to accept it and believe it and live by it. That's what it means when Jesus says, Mary chose the good part. And I don't know about you, but that's an amazing thing to me. You know, there are lots of wonderful things that people do in the Bible, lots of amazing things like David fighting a giant or Daniel being willing to get thrown into the lion's den. Those are pretty spectacular things that movies get made about. No one makes movies about Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus in a busy house. At least no one would watch it. This seems like such a small thing, but I want you to appreciate that in this moment, it makes all the difference for Mary because she chose to do this. In this moment, Mary makes a choice that bears fruit in her life. In this moment, what Mary is she becomes a living, breathing example of the good soil that we read about in Luke 8 and verse 15. Remember what Jesus said there? But the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. You'll remember that he discusses another kind of soil before that. That's the soil that's full of thorns and weeds. And remember what he says about that soil, right? The seed gets in there and the seed begins to grow. But because there are so many weeds, because there's so many thorns, the weed cannot bear fruit. And so in other words, the thorny ground represents the kind of Christian who hears the word. Maybe they go to Bible classes. Maybe they sit in the pew, but they never really bear fruit. Their life never really changes. They're never really transformed because of the worries of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth. And the difference in the good soil is the good soil has none of those thorns. It just accepts the words of Jesus. It accepts the seed and it bears fruit. And I want you to understand that Mary's choice to stop, listen intently, and accept what she hears, that choice allows the words of Jesus to transform her and bear fruit in her. And I think we see a concrete example of that later in Mary's life. I want you to go with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, this is another instance later in the ministry of Jesus, actually almost near the end of the ministry of Jesus, right before he dies. And here again, we see Mary and Martha and Lazarus all in the same story. But here near the end of Jesus' ministry, we see something that Mary does that is just, in a word, breathtaking. It's astounding. Listen to what it says in John 12, beginning in verse 1. It says, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Here at the end of Jesus' life, we see all three of them again. Lazarus reclines at the table with his friend. Martha is serving, of course, again. But here's Mary engaging in this astounding act. The text tells us that she takes a bottle of perfume, and in other accounts would tell us that that bottle was worth 300 denarii. And denarii, according to what the people say who know better than I do, is about a day's wages, right? And so it's 300 days' wages. This is what this bottle of perfume is worth, which I actually did the math, which if you know me is something I don't normally like to do. That's 82% of your yearly income. Think about that. 82% of the average worker's annual income is contained in this bottle of perfume. And Mary takes that. She pours it all out, wipes his feet with her hair, and anoints him with this precious perfume. And then the text goes on to say that the house was filled with the fragrance, which of course it was. It's a pound of perfume. Can you imagine the scent? Can you imagine how overwhelming that must have been? And that is just, to me, such an amazing and astounding story, an amazing act that Mary engages in. I want you to think about what she did there. What she did there is basically like taking $40,000 and setting it on fire so that Jesus can warm his hands. That's what she does. And when I read about that, when I look at that story, I'm like, what in the world? What kind of person does something like that? What could have possibly possessed her to do something this extreme? Even the 12 apostles are struggling to wrap their minds around this decision. How does a woman come to the place in her life where she would take $40,000 worth, approximately, worth of oil, and just dump it all out on Jesus in a moment? And what I want you to appreciate this evening is that these actions are born of a heart that is understood and heard and believes the teachings of Jesus. What I want you to see is Mary does this because she chooses the good part. Mary does this because when Jesus talks, she listens. Mary does this because she understands his words. Mary does this because when Jesus talks, she actually believes what he says. And I want you to see that. I want you to think about that for a second. What does Mary show us? What does she demonstrate that she believes when she does this? And I want you to see, first of all, that when Mary does this, she shows us that she really has understood and believed what Jesus said about storing up treasures and where you ought to invest your life. In Matthew 6 and verse 21, remember what Jesus said there? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Mary shows us in this moment that she really believes that. that she understands that. Here's this precious ointment. Here's this perfume. You know what? Moth and rust could destroy this. This is going to go bad one day. Thieves could break in and steal it. But you know what I can do? I can give it to Jesus and store up treasure in heaven. And in this moment, Mary shows us that she understood the things that Jesus said. When he taught about the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, verse 20, remember what he says at the end of that parable? But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." I don't know if Mary was there that day when he taught that parable, but she got the point. She knew the message. She understood the teaching that when you store up treasures on this earth, you're going to die one day, you're going to leave them to somebody else, and they're going to be useless to you. But what you can focus on with your life is being rich toward God. And that's what she's doing. And Mary shows us something else. She shows us that she really listened to Jesus when he declared that he was going to die. In Matthew chapter 26, we learn exactly why Mary did this. Jesus says, "For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for my burial." When everybody else in Jesus's orbit is shocked that he dies, it seems like Mary is the only one who really sees it coming and really knows what's going on. And the reason why that is, because she chooses the good part. Because she listens when Jesus speaks. And she believes what she hears. And in this moment, Mary also demonstrates that she really does believe all the things that Jesus taught about worry and distraction and anxiety and faith. Think about what's happening in this moment. Again, all over again, she's neglecting the housework, but she's still not frazzled. In a moment of zeal, intense zeal, she spends tens of thousands of dollars, and she's not troubled by it one bit. And it seems to me that she knows this may be the very last time she's going to see Jesus before he dies. And yet she doesn't seem like she's overwhelmed by fear or worry at all. And it seems to me that in this moment she's showing us that she really believed what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." What does Mary show us? She shows us that she really believes that. That when Jesus talked, she listened and she believed and she accepted it. And what I want you to see, brothers and sisters, is that when you look at Mary's life, you see that she believes what Jesus says when he says it. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you may look at what she does here and say, "That's nuts. Who spends $40,000 in a moment pouring out a bunch of perfume?" But when you really listen to what Jesus says, and you accept it, and you believe it, then what Mary does is a no-brainer, isn't it? What you see in her is a person who has been changed by the words of Christ. What you see in her is somebody who has been transformed by the word of God. Mary is the kind of person who believes what he says, no matter how outlandish or countercultural or counterintuitive it may seem, no matter how costly it may be to her, because she is the kind of person who has been changed and transformed and born by the teaching that Jesus gives. It reminds me of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, when Peter says this about all of us: You have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. Brothers and sisters, that's what it does to us. That is what Jesus' words, that is what the Spirit's words do to us. When we really listen and we really believe what we hear, it changes us. It transforms us. And so what we see in this story is that Mary chose the good part and it changed her. And so the question, of course, we have to ask ourselves is, are we going to choose the good part? Is that the choice that I'm making with my life? And of course, we're all sitting here on a Sunday night. And of course, many of you are sitting here thinking, I just spent hundreds of dollars to come down to Florida for lectures. Of course I chose the good part. I go to Bible class all the time. I hit all of the Bible studies at FC. Every single one of them, okay? I choose the good part. I attend worship services all the time. I chose the good part. But I want you to appreciate that Mary's attitude is deeper than that. And I want you to appreciate that when we talk about choosing the good part, we're talking about something deeper than just a daily Bible reading schedule or perfect attendance in Bible class. When we talk about choosing the good part, it means you got to do what Mary did. You got to make the choice that Mary made. You have to choose stop. You have to make time in your life to dive into the Word of God. You have to make that time, even if that means neglecting important things for the sake of something more important. Because that's what we often do. We often live a lot like Martha. And I'm sure that if Martha was sitting there that night and you questioned her and said, hey, why aren't you sitting at the feet of Jesus? She'd say, I'd love to. And I probably could if Mary would help me a little bit. But I'd love to. I just have so much going on and I'm not able to do that. I'm so busy. I've got to do this and this. And once I get all that done, I'll be in there. I hope he's still here. Doesn't she sound like us? We have to choose to stop. Even if that means neglecting, even if that means letting some things fall through the cracks, we have to stop and make our time to listen to our Lord. And like Mary, you need to do more than just stop. You need to also choose to listen and listen closely and listen intently. You know, it's shocking to me that of all the people in Jesus' orbit, Mary is the one who actually sees his death coming. And she sees it because she's actually been listening. She's been listening closely. Despite the fact that his 12 apostles were with him every day, they never really heard him, or they never really were willing to accept what he said. When he said he was going to Jerusalem and he was going to die, Peter wasn't listening closely, because when they're in the garden and they're coming to arrest him so that he can go die for the sins of all mankind, he pulls a sword. He wasn't listening that closely. And sometimes I wonder if we're like them. We read the book. We attend the Bible classes. We sit for the sermons, we go to the devos, we listen to the podcasts. But do we really hear what Jesus is saying to us? You know, I think many of us sitting here tonight, we know all the Bible class answers to all those questions. We know all the Bible class answers. We know the right thing to say. But are we really listening? You know, if I were to ask you tonight, if we opened it up and did a whole Bible class thing, what are the two greatest commands? I'm sure you would know the answers to those questions, right? What are the two greatest commands? Well, you love God and you love other people. And you would know that answer, and you'd be able to give that answer in a Bible class or in a devo, wouldn't you? And you'd be able to go further than that, wouldn't you? You'd be able to say, not only love God, but you got to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you know all four of those, and you know them in the right order. I don't even know if I got those in the right order. I didn't put that in my notes. I'm riffing a little bit. But you would know that, right? And you might even be able to take me to Matthew chapter 22, right? And say, look, here, this is where he explains that on all of this hang the law and the prophets. And so ultimately, every other command in Scripture is just an explanation, just a specification of what it means to love God and love others. You might know that. You might have that answer. But are you really listening? What does that mean in your life? Are you really loving God with everything you've got? And do you really love your neighbor as yourself? Do you truly love the way that Jesus would have you love? You may know the Bible class answer, but are you listening closely? Or how about this? I could ask you the question, who walked on the water with Jesus? And you'd know that answer, wouldn't you? Somebody just mouthed it to me. Yeah, you know that answer, right? Peter walked on water with Jesus, and you know all kinds of things about that, right? You know, well, he took a couple of steps, he got out of the boat, the other guys didn't stay in the boat, so Peter's faith was bigger than theirs. And then what happened? Well, he sank because he looked at the winds and the waves. And then Jesus said, "You little faith, why do you doubt?" You know all of that stuff. You might even be able to say, look, in Peter's life, he shows this. It's a pattern with him, right? When he takes his eyes off the Lord and looks at the waves, that's when he loses his faith. You might know that. But are you listening? What's the point of the story of Jesus helping Peter walk on water? And the point of the story is that when we walk with the Lord and when we really have faith in the Lord, we can do things that we think are impossible. That there's nothing to fear and that there's nothing to worry about. He can help us walk on water if we just believe in him. That's the point. Are you listening closely? Or do you just know the Bible class answer? We could do a million more of those, but I think you get the point. And to be like Mary, we also have to truly accept what we hear. And that's what Mary shows us in John chapter 12. Her actions are breathtaking. Regular people don't do stuff like what Mary does in John chapter 12. And she does that. She does that because the word of Christ has truly changed her. It has transformed her entirely. And I wonder if sometimes we're not quite there yet. I wonder if sometimes we stop, we make all the time in the world for Bible things, and we are listening closely. Like, I really know what it means to love other people. I really know what it means to love God. We're listening closely. We know what it means. We know how to apply it, but we're just not quite to the point where we have enough faith to really make the choices and do the things that we know we need to do. We haven't done what Mary does, right? And maybe you know, maybe you're like Mary. Maybe you understand. Look, I read Matthew 6, 19 through 21. I understand where I need to store up my treasure. I understand that everything I store up here is worthless at the end of the day. And I've listened closely. I know what that means. But at the end of the day, I just don't have enough faith to really, really, really make the choice that I need to make. Because I haven't really accepted it yet. I haven't really believed it yet as much as I need to. If we want to choose the good part, then we have to do what Mary does. And brothers and sisters, when you make the choice to listen like Mary, it changes you. It changes your life. And let me be clear about that. When I say that it changes you, I don't just mean that it will enable you to know the difference between right and wrong. And that's certainly true. It will certainly do that. But it's so much more than that. When you really choose the good part, it transforms everything about life. Like we read about in Psalm 19 at the beginning of the service. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. So brothers and sisters, when you truly listen, when you let the seed in, it restores your soul. It rejoices your heart. It enlightens your eyes. It helps you walk in the paths of righteousness. It rewards you. When you truly let the word in, it'll make you a Mary. And I want you to think about that with me as we bring this lesson to a close. What would happen? What would happen? Not if you just decided, I'm going to start a Bible reading schedule, and I'm going to do it every day, and I'm going to keep the schedule. Not just if you do, that's a good thing to do, don't get me wrong. But not just if you do that. But what if you actually choose to be like Mary? That you stop, you make time, you listen close, and whatever you hear him say, you choose to accept and believe and live it out. What might that do for you? How might that change your life? I'm going to invite you here at the end of this lesson to just stop for a moment and listen. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible says this: "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. How might your life change if you really, really believed that? In Matthew 5, verse 29, Jesus said this: if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. That was a repeat. I'm not sure how that happened. I'm sorry. What would happen if you really believed that? What would happen if you really, really believed that? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life. Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, Paul writes, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. In Colossians 3 and verse 12, so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And the last one, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What would happen? What would happen if you really listened and truly believed what the Word of Christ, what the Bible, what the Holy Spirit says to you? What a marvelous life it would be if we chose to be like Mary. We would walk continuously in the path of righteousness. We would endure even the most intense persecution with joy. We would see ourselves, our lives, our enemy, and our God with total clarity. Our hearts would be restored, and our hope would be fixed and full. Our lives would be transformed. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the Word of God. That's the power of the seed. And in order for it to change you, transform everything about your life like it does for Mary, the only thing you need to do is choose to listen. All you need to do is receive it, like Mary did. And so as we close this lesson, the simple question I have for you is, are you really going to listen to what Jesus says? Will you choose to believe his words when you hear them? Perhaps you have heard the word of Christ. And perhaps it is trying to change you, but your heart is resisting it. I encourage you that in whatever way it's calling you, whatever way it's asking you to transform, I pray that you will let it in and let it do its work. And perhaps this evening, the work that it wants to do in you is save your soul. Paul says in Romans 1 and verse 16 that he's not ashamed of the gospel because of the power of God to salvation for all who believe. And maybe you've not been saved yet. The Bible says that if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and we're willing to confess that belief before men, if we will repent of our sins, then we can be baptized in water. And that water will wash our sins away and help us rise to walk in newness of life. If that's the message you need to listen to and accept tonight, then we encourage you to come to the front and we can help you while we stand and while we sing.
Oh, sweet, it rains, oh, God.